May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That we're reminded of just the nature of spiritual warfare. Sometimes we as charismatic make it so big and so dramatic that we forget how subtle it is. We end up fighting windmills while the enemy just wins the battle moment by moment and day by day. One of the things I learned many, many years ago by a very godly and wise mentor is that most of the battle, the vast majority of spiritual battle, happens between your two ears. And the fiery darts that the enemy sends come against our thought life. And many times we think we're having a monologue, carry on a conversation with ourselves, when actually it's a dialogue with the evil one. And his voice can sound a lot like God's voice. And they both sound a lot like your voice. But what differentiates the two is the content. For the words of the Lord are spirit and life. If the words that you're receiving, even if it's a word of correction, doesn't have a nature of mercy and grace behind it that brings spirit and life, then it's not God. And James says there's only two kinds of wisdom. That which is of God, and that which is earthly and fleshly and demonic. It's not real complicated. And if you and I don't learn how to take captive thoughts, as we've said recently, if God doesn't think it, you can't afford to, you're going to find yourself losing battle after battle in the privacy of your own thought life while faking joyful Christianity. There's a place in Revelation 12 that says this, that gives you some insight into how the enemy attacks. Remember, he's a guerrilla fighter. It's not like he shows up at the doorpost in front of you with a big long red tail and a red suit on and long horns and goes, "Hello, I'm the devil. I just wanted to talk to you for a few moments." He's a liar, and he's the father of lies. And his job is to deceive. And most of the time, when he comes at us, it carries an element of reality. He's a deceiver. And deceivers don't go way over here. They're real close to the truth. But it doesn't carry the spirit of the truth because the truth is intended to set you free. When the enemy speaks things to your mind, even if they have facts involved, if it creates bondage and condemnation and self-rejection and the feelings of rejection before God, then you know it can't be God. It says this, verse 15, of Revelation 20. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. Now this is how the enemy comes at us. And when the warfare is the most intense, is when the words that are coming out of his mouth are like a river. Not like just a little stream, but a river of accusation, because he is the accuser of the brethren, and condemnation. And his intention is to do what? Sweep you off your feet spiritually. Just to find yourself in a place where you have fallen on the inside, though you're still going through the motions on the outside, so nobody will think anything's wrong with you. Because unfortunately, much of our spiritual identity isn't found in who we are in Christ, but who people think we are in Christ. That's one of the things we have to really get free from. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with those times when you're alone and there's just this flood of assault, these floods of thoughts of self-rejection, of fear, of anger, of all those different things that stem from, especially those words that tell you how unworthy you are and how in the world could you be crying out to God for those extravagant things? Because just when you thought you were cruising, having cruise control, you blew it again. And when you blow it again, the enemy's not there to pat you on the back and tell you everything's okay. He's there to sweep you away into a bad desert place. So how do we deal with it? Scripture talks about the shield of faith, but if you're always on the defensive, and eventually, even with the shield of faith, you're going to keep going back, he's going to keep pounding. There comes a time when we have to go on the offense and strike a blow and take the sword of the Spirit, which is what Jesus did when he was tempted with the flood of thoughts that came against him. We always picture Christ standing in front of the devil and the devil just talking to him. But is it possible that Jesus got tempted just like you and I do? That it came the same way that it comes to us? Just river floods of thought, thoughts that sweep us off our feet to kind of ruin our walk in that moment. That's why it's so important. The Christian life is sustained. Your public life is sustained in the secret place. The Lord gave us a word probably a year ago, and he says this, if you'll live your life behind the veil in the secret place, I'll live my life through you beyond the veil in the public place. If you'll live your life in me behind the veil, I'll live my life through you beyond the veil. This is Ezekiel, because what happens when we get alone with God, or we didn't have to be when we're alone, if we're tuned in, but it's that place where we're alone with him, where God gives us sustainable words and speaks to us to wage war, even anticipating the battle. In Ezekiel chapter 1, it says this, verse 3, and the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, and he goes on, and he says, the word expressly here is the word fashioned. One of the things that happens when you get with the Lord behind the veil in the secret place is he fashions words just for you. He knows your personality. He knows your calling. He knows your unique place. He knows exactly where you're at in the Lord. And so he fashions a word just for you. When Jesus, as the Son of Man, was tempted during those 40 days, constantly and continually tempted. If you go back and read that scripture, it wasn't just those like four temptations. For the whole 40 days, he was continually tempted. There was a flood of words and thoughts. It just sort of gives us the last big dramatic act when the enemy came during those 40 days. And the Lord gave Jesus, now remember, Jesus was fasting and praying, so he wasn't especially vulnerable. He was strong in the spirit. And I believe during that season, there wasn't just the attack. That's when God particularly zeroed in on the scriptures that Jesus quoted. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. Because the Father fashioned words for him. The Lord knows how the enemy is going to attack you. That God and the devil aren't co-equals, though we as charismatic act like they are. The devil's not in control. But we have one who sits on the throne who declares the end from the beginning. And declares, this is what must take place. That's our God. A throne that's high and lifted up. And what we do when we get alone with him, he'll fashion a word just for you. And in chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1. Then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, that I may speak with you. But listen to what it says. He says, stand on your feet that I may speak with you. But the truth is, and as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me more. You see, what happens when you get with him, prayer is about him talking because he has more to say that has more relevance than what you have to say. Now, we get to talk back, but it's really better you learn to let God do most of the talking. And what God will do, he'll fashion a word for you. And when he fashions that word for you, haven't you experienced this before in the midst of a battle, in the midst of a flood, the thoughts that come against you of condemnation, accusation, and all those kind of things, disqualification, and the Lord will fashion a word for you. It'll come into your heart, and the Spirit comes alive in you, and all of a sudden you're on your feet again. Where you'd been swept away off of your feet by the flood of words, suddenly, through one little word from God. Because you see, he created the whole universe with just words. And Jesus is called the Word. Revelation 1, he's called the Voice. You know, speak this word, fashion it just for you. You stand on your feet, full of the Spirit again, and ready to keep walking. Because it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, that here's one of the things that God does. That he doesn't waste anything. So even when we're in the battle and we've been swept off our feet in the wilderness, he teaches us some things. He humbles us, teaches us how absolutely and utterly dependent we are on him, and how to live by the words that are proceeding out of the mouth of God. Because that's how we're created. right? To live by the words that are proceeding out of the mouth of God. So, if you find yourself, if you were talking to me, you'd go, okay, Chuck, if you find yourself again having been swept off your feet, and all the good intentions and the momentum you were building seems to have just disappeared, and areas again accusing, and you know the truth, right? We know the truth. We've been walking long enough, we know the truth, but it doesn't seem to help. We have to get a new, fresh thing from God. He'll speak even an old word, but it'll be fashioned just for me. Fill me with the Spirit. Stand me on my feet. And then we get to run to the battle again. Amen? The more you stay in His presence, the more He'll fashion words for you so that you have a word before you get in the battle, not always after you've been swept off your feet. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.